Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, do you remember when we talked about the Star Wars hotel coming to Walt Disney World?
The super expensive thing that I'll never get to be in, right? Is that the
crazy, like, $7 million per night per person hotel experience
and you have
where
to,
you're written
and you
into
have to
the
stay
narrative
for at least so many nights and all that kind of
right.
stuff?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Disney Westworld, gotcha.
So, oh my gosh, I had never made that connection, but that it is kind of what it is, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's hope not to quite that extent.
Yeah, well,
because this is we won't get into that here because it's not missing the Westworld, but
you'll know if any of the droids, if you ask a droid a question and it says that doesn't look like anything to me, just get out.
Yep, yep.
Just leave. Run.
Leave immediately.
Go to Pop Century or something else, but get out of the Star Wars hotel because something's about to
go
pop
down.
Off.
Yes. Okay. So, but avoiding that possibility,
right. There have been some new images and a little bit of information about that hotel that's come out, and I think it had the opposite effect on me than what it was supposed to, because all the new information and the new images and stuff that they put out just makes me think this is not going to be good. This is not, there's no way they can execute on this.
Really? Okay. So what's the turn-off? It's just too much.
I mean, it's just I feel like they're promising too much and it's not going to be what they have said it is. You know, this whole writing you into the narrative and all that, I get costuming, I get having it connected in Star Wars land. I get they can do. The thing that I'm worried about the most is the theming. The spaceport windows and the interior of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be as good and immersive. Like the things that they're promising, especially there's like a 7-second video that shows like a window in the ceiling and some things happening outside of it. And there's some other images that they've posted. I don't believe that they're going to be able to do it. I don't think that they're going to be able to do it like they're promising. And I think they need to stop. I don't think they need to stop doing it. I think they need to stop building on their original promise. Stick with what they said and then let it be better.
But everything you've described isn't any more than what they originally said.
No,
I don't think.
But it's not any more than what they've said. They keep showing more and more.
Okay, so I think
that Disney is classic for under-promising and over-delivering. And
right.
I'm afraid that this hotel is going to be the opposite. This experience is going to be the opposite.
So I haven't looked at these videos. I air quotes around that because
yeah.
It's like literally they just chose to take a picture and put it on YouTube and they call that a video. But
it's basically a GIF and a different video for every GIF.
Yeah, yeah. Neither of the two that are on the Disney Parks blog post feel that impossible to me, right? So a couple of screens fix all of the stuff that you're talking about, and I see no reason why. I mean, looking at something like what the new river ride for Pandora. Or
Navi River Journey.
Right. Or looking at the Pirates of the Caribbean over in Hong Kong, I think, is the one that has was it Hong Kong or Shanghai?
I think it's Shanghai.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I get your meaning.
But yeah, so they've been able to do this with screens in all those places. All of that is entirely doable with screens in this place. So I don't think any of this is implausible.
But that's an attraction, though. This is a hotel.
This is... No. This is an attraction.
But it's also a hotel.
The stuff that they are suggesting, the price that they... You know, the price that we both inevitably know that you're going to end up paying, it's going to be an attraction.
It is. It is absolutely an attraction, but it's also a hotel.
Yes.
That's what worries me, is that it's a hotel.
But when you say it's an attraction, I feel like you're saying, and the... Or, you know, that's an attraction. They can't do this because it's not something where they're getting, you know, where they can invest. Like, to me, it's saying it's a hotel means they can invest in it all. As long as they're making the money they need, they can invest in it as much, if not more so, than they can into an attraction.
Yeah, you might be right. I just, as they keep doling out information about it, it just keeps on, like, it's building and building and building and building as this amazing thing, and I don't feel like it can be as good as they're saying.
Well, I think it definitely can, and all this gets me more pumped for it, I guess. And again, only to some extent, because I know that I know that it's very unlikely that I'll ever get to stay here. Fingers crossed, but, you know, I still haven't got to stay at the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian. So I have a few other things to check off before I can make it to the Star Wars Hotel. But, yeah, I think all of this is entirely plausible. So we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. But I can see to your point, if you're already concerned, this could definitely make you more concerned. But I'm really not concerned with them pulling off this vision. And I think in some ways this hotel has the potential to be a equivalent to a gate, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like with the pricing that we expect them to do, with everything they're saying is going to exist within this hotel, in some ways it is a gate. It is an entire park to it, into it. To itself. So
they certainly want it to be.
Right. And I think when I think about it with that picture in my mind, all of this stuff seems entirely possible. Right. And so I think that's the way that I'm seeing it. If you don't see it that way, maybe it's not as much. And again, you know, I could definitely see how the looking at the bottom line and everything like that could make it completely and totally underwhelm, but I'm choosing to believe that it won't.
Well, and your comparison to Westworld is apt, like, way, and I can't believe I hadn't thought about that, but I feel like that's the only way you can do it. Instead of having screens for windows and everything, like, you kind of have to make the environment and then put the hotel in it. Now, you can't do that because it's outer space, obviously. You can't shuttle guests into low Earth orbit for the night and do it that way. But
don't tell Elon Musk that.
I feel like the way to do that is the Westworld way, where you create the environment out in the middle of nowhere, or in Disney's case, you know, in a corner of some property they own. Like, they can build an environment and then just put a regular old hotel there. So when you look out the window, you're not looking at a screen, you're looking out a window at a themed area.
But to some extent, that's what Disney specializes in, is it not? I mean,
absolutely.
You're transported into a mansion on a dark night, and you know, you just walked in out of Florida, and if you look at it from the backstage view, it's just a big aluminum building or whatever, right? That is, you know, that's the Haunted Mansion. Or you're transported, that's what I feel like every attraction to some extent is.
But is so I see what you're saying there, and to a point that is true, but are people going to look at this as an attraction? Because I think where my issue with this begins is right there, is when you walk in from Florida and you walk into this hotel and it's an attraction, but then it's also your hotel. And so you're living in this world And then you walk out of your hotel and you're, you know, riding the carousel, you know, or you're walking down Main Street USA. It's like, so maybe I'm not worried about them so much. Like Disney, I'm worried about the perception of living in an incongruent world. Because like, so when I go to Disney and I stay in Coronado Springs, I understand that this is my hotel and it's on Disney property and it is a hotel room and I go there to sleep, period. But if I was made to believe that Coronado Springs was in, I don't know, like was in the old West in Mexico, and I'm in the 1800s in Mexico, and the whole thing is themed that way, and there's out the window, there's people like having gunfights, and there's a saloon where there's actors and like all this stuff, like Westworld. When I walk out of there and I hop on the bus and go to Disney's Hollywood Studios, that hurts the experience of the hotel for me. I think that's where my issue stems from, is that I think that maybe the experience of this hotel is going to be hurt by the fact that it is too much.
I get what you're saying. I think that, you know, we are making some assumptions, though, about, because I could just as easily say, but what if the way that you arrive at the hotel isn't you walk through doors and then boom, you're in the hotel? What about if you have to get in a shuttle? Like, thinking
like one of those elevators at the Museum of Natural Science.
Well, or just
we're
like
we're going to go on a drilling rig,
just like one of the elevators in the Living Seas. Which, yes, I know they weren't called elevators. I can't remember what they were called right now. Don't at me. But you know, there are different ways of handling arriving and leaving. If you want to, you know, say, oh, look, now you're traveling back to Earth. Boom, you're back at Earth. Now you're in Orlando and you can go to Disney. And later
you step
you'll
in
travel
in a
back
room
to,
that shakes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or whatever that might be. And I'm not saying that I expect Disney to do that. The concept of this, when once I'm in here, I exist in one world, and once I'm out there, I exist in another world, isn't as big of a sticking point for me, I think. Though, again, when I experience it firsthand, that could change things. But I don't know. I'm still interested in seeing it. I don't really think that these images, because to me it's just more of that's already exactly what I expected from it.
Right.
That doesn't really change my perception one way or the other. I could have done with or without them. But yeah, I'm still pumped for it. So I'm hoping for the best. I'm choosing to be optimistic this time, Jeremy. Don't try to drag me down to your level, man.
Do you have a fever?
Maybe just
what's happening? Do I have a fever? I don't know what's going on.
Is this real life or is this just fantasy? So speaking of you're traveling from Star Wars over to Disney's Hollywood Studios. If you're doing that, you're going to find that you're actually in a park that has longer hours. Finally, starting June 30th, the park is going to be open from 8 to 11 PM. And for the month of July, it's going to be 8 to 10 PM daily. And then they're also going to be doing 7 AM early morning EMH throughout the entire month of July, all corresponding with the opening of Toy Story Land.
So people who are sane will want to avoid Disney's Hollywood Studios for the entire month of June and July.
For the entire month,
or the entire month of July.
Yeah, I mean, the entire month of July. In fact, June 27th would probably be an awesome day to go, because everybody's going to be like, there's no way I'm going. Toy Story Land's open in a couple. Though, I don't know. You'll probably have some crowds hoping for like a soft open or something.
Yeah.
But
God, there's going to be miserable there.
Well, they're also going to be doing evening EMH from 10 p.m. to midnight on Friday nights. All of this coming from the WW Magic article. But yeah, I don't think I'd want to be there when it first. I'm kind of.
You know that every single person who's staying on property is going to be in that EMH.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be nuts.
So remind me, please, because I'm there are two attractions being added for this, right?
Uh-huh.
The coaster and the swirling saucers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so is the coaster and swirling saucers enough to turn DHS into this like a park that you would want to be in that much of the day?
Uh-uh. It's not. The third track for Toy Story Midway Mania, I think, did more than Toy Story Land will.
I think that's nah. I think Toy Story Land does more for it than that. I'm just not sure that suddenly makes it. I think it let me rephrase that. I think it makes them need to keep it open longer because they are absolutely right. The crowds are going to be insane.
Yeah.
Because of this. And so for that reason, it definitely needs to be open longer. But outside of that, I don't think it's going to add that much to it. Come next June or July to your entire stay, right?
No, yeah.
I think that's kind of what it is. But yeah, I think I mean,
well, in saying that about Toy Story Midway Mania, I just think that Toy Story Midway Mania with three tracks,
mm-hmm.
that improved the accessibility of that attraction by like 200%.
Yes, I agree with that.
And it's arguably the most popular attraction at that park. And it is now an attraction that you don't have to wait at least 90 minutes for. And yeah, I think Slinky Dog Coaster is going to be great. And the Alien Spinning Saucers is going to be the Luigi's tire thing from Disney California Adventure. And which is great, you know. I think that's probably going to be lots of fun. But I just don't know what... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to affect that park, or if it's going to affect that park that much.
So does either one of these, or perhaps both of these attractions, are they e-ticket attractions? And let's remember we're talking about this before it's actually open. So
yeah. I think they'll sell Slinky Dog as an e-ticket, but I don't know that it will be that.
Yeah, that's
quality.
That's kind of my thought too. And Alien Saucers, I don't think is going to be that at all. And I don't think they're going to try to sell it as that.
No,
but
no, I agree.
My suggestion to everybody listening: remember, Brad and Jeremy, as a general rule, I don't think either one of us suggests getting park hoppers.
No.
Okay, so neither of us usually suggest getting park hoppers. I suggest getting a park hopper if you plan on doing Hollywood Studios in June, you know, June 30th through at least July. Go ahead and get the park hopper and make your fast pass reservations for those two attractions, and then get out of Dodge because that place is going to be crazy. So
I don't think I truly understood how long the Slinky Dog coaster was until I was looking at this image.
Looking at the aerial views of it.
It's got a whole nother section of the track I never saw.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You've got the one around the blocks and stuff,
right,
and then it goes underneath the bridge.
Right.
And then you've got another set of camelbacks and two turns, it looks like. It's not that much, but that's a fairly long roller coaster.
Yeah, see, they added more to it, but it's not really interesting part. I mean... For me, anyway, I think it's going to be great for it's going to be great for kids and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't want to like bill this as a kids attraction, but
no, but I think Disney is.
Yeah,
I think they're building it as a kids attraction.
Yeah, because I mean they're not throwing a bunch of loops and stuff like, you know, the most harrowing adventure on Disney property, Slinky Dog Attacks.
Is it launched?
Yes. Yeah, it is a launch coaster.
I was looking for the lift hill and all these
images. I say that mostly because I can look at the picture and be like, there ain't no lift hill on that.
I know, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay. Yeah, well, I guess I thought in all the images I'd seen that the this like red wider area with the blue on each end was a lift hill, but it's not. It's flat. So that must be the launch.
Man,
well, that's kind of fun.
Lift hills take time. We ain't got time for all of that.
Yeah, lift hills are boo-boo.
And more importantly, lift hills take space. We definitely don't have anything for that.
Yeah. Are they going to be able to... I have a lot of logistical questions about this. Like, are they going to be able to run more than one train at a time on such a short roller coaster?
I don't know. They've been...
Well, they need to.
What I've seen video and stuff of them running test coasters and stuff on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've seen multiple ones or not. So, yeah, you can you need to go check all that out, because I'm sure somebody has already done a write up from what little we've seen. But yeah, I'm just not thinking that all that them saying, hey, we're going to keep the park open longer during this time, it just makes me say now I want even less to have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of weird to me on some level. I think it's just because Toy Story Land doesn't interest me that. And please recognize this is not me saying and Toy Story Land is garbage or whatever. Like, it's just like Pandora was something I would have wanted to do even when it was crazy right. busy, even when it was, you know, three, four hour waits for everything.
Well, and I was going to say, let me draw a parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Animal Kingdom is a very large park with very few attractions. And Pandora opened with two attractions. So I would say that it's similar. And one big attraction and one small attraction. And this, you know, Hollywood Studios, not nearly as big as Animal Kingdom, but it's a big park with relatively few attractions. And this small land is opening with two.
Right.
So it's similar, at least.
Well, and so I think another thing there is, what did I say that... So thinking back to I think a couple of days ago, you and I had a text conversation about the size. Like, isn't that 11 acres or something like that, Toy Story Land?
Uh-huh.
So somewhere between 10 and 15 acres is both Toy Story Land and Pandora. So they're similarly sized lands as well.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't think... I get what Disney's doing by extent, and I'm glad that they are extending the hours, but them extending the hours just makes me say even more so, I think I can wait to go back to Disney's Hollywood Studios. At least till school's back in session.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, so I think we should finish off with some exciting news, because...
Well, we have time for a third topic.
We do. And
wow.
And this is exciting news, because I know this is something that's going to be of big use to both you and I.
Mm-hmm.
A Club 33 doorbell has been installed at Epcot's American Adventure, according to WWNT.
Oh my gosh.
That's right. That's
I'm
right.
I'm on the list already.
It's getting started, Club
I'm
33.
Making the announcement right here. I'm on the list.
So rumored locations for the other three parks at this point, but this pretty much guarantees that, yes, the Club 33 in Epcot is going to be in the very back of the park.
Away from all the plebs. As far away from all the dummies and poor people
as you can get. So I guess this means, I know this has been rumored for a while that would be the location for it. So it shouldn't be super surprising. I do think it's interesting that they added a Magic Band point for it as well.
That's pretty cool.
So
ostensibly you will have on your Magic Band
that you are a Club 33 member?
Club 33 person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I will be interested to see, you know, how many what's it going to do if you're not a Club 33 person? Right.
Call the police.
Access denied. I told you about the Club 33 doorbell over in Disneyland, like seeing them random people trying, like, ringing it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how I felt horrible for that cast member who then has to answer that door and be like, no, you're not a Club 33 member. You can't.
Right.
Oh, I just want to peek my head in. No, you can't. So I guess they will still have to do that, because they do have a doorbell there. But yeah, Magic Band if you're willing to self-serve. And again, so this location was rumored to be the location. Now we know that it actually is a location. I'm just kind of surprised because, again, some part of me still thought that maybe it would be a future world location, and possibly it would even be like the old Siemens location or something like that. Which I'm wondering, does that mean that
maybe that's going to be a Club 33 lounge?
Ooh, so they'll have the club up front, and then a lounge in the front and the actual club in the back, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like you can get some drinks. You can have drinks in the lounge. But if you actually want to go in and have a sit down.
Yeah, I could see something like that, because I was just wondering, does this mean that they're actually still expecting to be able to pull off another? And I don't get me wrong. I know on some level they're always expecting that they can somehow sign somebody else up to become a sponsor and, you know, take over that club or take over that that area, right, at Spaceship Earth. But I guess, yeah, a lounge would make sense, because, I mean, that's – but then why did they make a whole new one for the – what was that, DVC, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Because they also could have used it for them.
It's the best kept secret, man. I don't know. Trying to comprehend why Disney does what they do for DVC is, I think, futile.
And that, but that's not so much trying to figure out why they do what they do for DVC. Like, I'm not questioning why did they give them a lounge. It's why not use one of your existing. Well, but I guess at the time they opened that, Siemens was still using the one over at Spaceship Earth.
Mm.
And maybe that's the reason Club 33 is at American Adventure, because at that time, they were still working with Siemens and they still thought they could get a new contract signed.
Maybe.
Yeah. And so then they just went and built a whole new one and said, oh, snap, now we've got an open one up in the front of the park.
Can I say how much I love this Magic Band touch point without Mickey Mouse on it?
So that's the same as the one for... well, no, Alpha Centauri has the actual Alpha Centauri logo on it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this is just a circle.
Yeah, I love it.
Why?
Just though? A circle with a band, a light band on it. I don't know. I love the way it looks. I find it aesthetically way better than with Mickey Mouse on it.
See, I think the Mickey Mouse one is good because it helps people like know what it's there for. And I recognize, like, I get the preference for the clean look, but I think people have enough trouble figuring out the one that has the Mickey Mouse head on it. And so I can't imagine how much more difficult this one would be for people to work with.
And I would never say put this on a pole.
Right, right. But for where it is.
Yeah, to get into Haunted Mansion. You know, I wouldn't put this blank thing that when it's off, it's off, which is another thing I really like about Magic Bands. For all the issues that people have with them, at least the little podiums, when they're off, they're off. They don't display like a little light show. They just sit there and wait. And when no one's using them, they don't do anything. And so especially with this design, it's just really nice. It looks like a little button, which might be a problem, but it just looks like a button. And oh, so to put your Magic Band up to it...
That's going to be a problem. There's going to be people going, I've been hitting the doorbell for 5 minutes and no one has let me in.
I want to know what sound it makes. Does it just make like a cash register noise? Like,
yeah, right.
That just cost you $10,000 to come in here.
Now you say the Magic Band thing doesn't do anything. What about the little swirling white around, you know, the white logo that goes, does that not happen?
Do they do that?
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I didn't notice that. I thought they just sat there.
No. It's got the like little, it's got like a little white circle going around it when it's waiting, doesn't it?
I thought the park entrance ones did that. I didn't think the attraction ones did that.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yes. You are correct.
I don't know if that's actually the case.
Okay. Because when I'm thinking about it, I am thinking about the park entrance ones. So we could both be right and both be wrong. As for the sound, it's going to be some Walt Disney thing, you know.
What if It played a 1 second clip of his Disneyland opening speech. And so everyone, like, person number one got the first second, and then person number two got the second one. And it would take however many hundreds of people to get through the entire speech, and then it just started over.
I think that there's no way. I'm just I'm thinking they would just use his welcome, welcome over and over again, because if you played that speech 1 second at a time, I don't know, because I don't know that speech by heart. But I'm sure there is some word there that would just be, you know, yeah. So, oh, that's a good point. And here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future, right? What do you think when you scan your Magic Band and you get youth?
And
challenge. Here youth.
challenge.
Savor.
Oh, yeah. I think it should just be Walt Disney saying savor.
Over and over again. No, it's gonna play whatever my Magic Band has, because if I paid 35 or 40, whatever, what are Magic Band? They keep going up. Anyway, if I paid whatever price for my custom Magic Band, it needs to do that. And as a matter of fact, now that it's a blank, if it's like my little Tiki Room one, it doesn't have the moving. This is horrible. Get rid of it. Replace it. Dadgummit.
Tiki, tiki, tiki.
Exactly. I got to have that, man. I paid money just so I could hear that over and over again.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.